Another secret of the universe. Sometimes pain was like a storm that came out of nowhere. The clearest summer could end in downpour, could end in lightning and thunder.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing you all of the reviews on Book Talk's most recommended books, and we're going to tell it to you straight. So I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. We are in our November TBR, so thank you for joining us. If you've stuck with us through spooky season and more ACOTAR, we're glad you're here. For episode 12 today, we're tackling a coming-of-age book, and it's been recently adapted into a movie, and it's got some nice cred on social media, and that is Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe by Benjamin O'Leary Sayans. I'm sorry, author. I butchered your name. My Duolingo is not paying off that well.
We're trying.
Anyway, so a quick summary. This book follows Aristotle, goes by Ari, and he is a young Mexican-American boy. And it's kind of following him going through puberty, and you know, he's changing, he's getting to try new things, and he meets a friend down the street named Dante, and it's kind of about their adventures of going from like boys to men.
Beautiful summary.
And set in our favorite state of Texas, El Paso.
So, did y'all find some good reviews for this book?
I've found one. I was having trouble finding reviews for this one, so I had to go to the 2 stars instead of the 1 stars. So this is a 2-star review from Goodreads from May. She said, so this is probably going to be the last review I write because I don't think I'm going to survive the boycotting my friends are going to inflict on me after I roast this book. Firstly, I want to apologize to the world. Secondly, what the heck was the point of this book? So the beginning was cute. It was cute in a middle school book kind of way, but going in thinking this was YA and getting an onslaught of 99% conversation and 0% plot made me feel ripped off. And then she just goes really in depth about how she thinks the Ari's a jerk and the writing was choppy.
What?
Yeah. So that's, I don't necessarily agree with this review, but that is what her opinion is.
That is definitely a funny review. I love this book. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. I'm the one who really wanted to do this book on the podcast. It's one of my favorites. So even though I always do negative reviews, it was really just too hurtful to me to actually do it for this book. But on Google, there are 1-star reviews for this book. I didn't think any of them were funny enough, but there are not 2- or 3-star book reviews. So this one was 4 stars. And I'm not going to preface it. I just want to see y'all's faces when I start reading it. This is not just a book, but more of a tapestry describing a friendship blossoming into love with a melancholic young boy changing into a mature man. It's filled with beautiful lines like a painting made with just feelings and thoughts. I would recommend this to anyone who feels unsure of who they are or for anyone trying to metamorphosize into a better reflection they desire.
That's intense.
It's like, oh.
That's like uncomfy. That made me
I hate it. I hated it.
I felt dirty. I was like, why do I feel so gross reading that? But I think that's funny. I also do think that it's a very beautiful but slow, like so sort of slow burn friendship story. And so I agree with his sentiment, not with how he chose to say it.
Okay, well, I have a 3-star review from Storygraph. Aristotle and Dante discovered the secrets of the universe is a light read, something you'd want while traveling or after a tough exam session. It is a character-driven story and doesn't have any twists or turns. It flows smoothly, having no bumps in the path. To me, this book felt like a cool breeze that gently touches the warmth of one's cheek. It was wholesome.
That is a really nice 3-star review.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably nicer than what I'd say.
Oh no.
They don't know this yet, but they both were like really excited for me to read this book, and I'm very meh on it.
No.
At least you don't hate it. You don't hate it.
I'm very meh.
Okay.
Oh my God.
So we'll get into that later.
Wow.
Well,
it hurts.
Goodreads disagrees with you, Caitlin, on the meh thing, because overall Goodreads rating is 4.3 out of 5, and the Amazon reading is 4.7 out of 5, which Amazon is always somehow higher. Do y'all agree with those reviews? I said, yes.
I love it. This is one of my favorite books, period.
It was fine. Remember how we like talked about we'd never find a book that Casey loved and I didn't? Well, we found it.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
I cannot believe it.
I'm not mad I read it, but like, okay.
Wow. I'm curious, what is your star rating, Caitlin?
Yeah.
I gave it a 3.
Is that a strong 3 or is that a weak 3?
That's a weak 3. Okay, I feel like I agreed with that 3-star review I read quite a bit about. It's just kind of like going. I don't know. There's no twists. There's no turns. There's no bumps. It's just a little sweet story. The problem is I don't at all relate to a 15-year-old boy going through puberty and discovering his like gender identity, sexuality.
Neither do we.
Yeah. I don't know. I just didn't vibe with it. I was like, okay, this was cute.
Like, the entire time I was thinking, reading this book, I was just like, well, I'm not a 15-year-old boy, but I doubt this is how 15-year-old boys think. But if they did, I have more appreciation for 15-year-old boys.
I unfortunately much more enjoyed the parents in the book.
I enjoyed the parents.
I enjoyed them, too.
I don't know.
It's a coming of age. It's a story about growing up.
I just, like, am not in love with it like you guys. I'm like, all right, cute book.
Okay. Well, man. We know Casey's a 5-star, but do you want to confirm?
A 5. Yeah, 5 out of 5 for me.
I'm also a 5-star, so we're probably going to fight Caitlin by the end of this.
Yeah.
Because we both loved this book.
You're not going to get a lot of fight out of me. I'm just very like, all right.
Okay.
I'm just shocked because this is just like exposing our differences in tastes of what we like, because you gave Local Woman Missing 4 stars and I'm like, that book was like plot hole city and this beautiful story. You're like,
actually, I'm pretty sure I gave it 5.
Yeah.
I like a thriller. This one was kind of bland for me.
Oh, it's such a sweet story.
It is sweet, you're right, but like, so, I said I relate not at all to the 2 main characters. I have some other things I'll say that are spoilers later, but...
So what we're hearing is October was Caitlin's month and November is Casey's month.
It turns out I'm much more into spooky books, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And ACOTAR. I'm always on the same page with you there.
Oh, that's yeah. True. We would literally fight you if you didn't give that 5 stars.
I made you read it, so... But yeah. Hey, this time around, you had me read one, and like, it was fine. I'd watch the movie, but... I'm not going to give it 5 stars. Sorry.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
This is what happens when we don't talk about our reviews before the podcast. They get full take.
Well, okay. Full disclosure. I did know your review beforehand because I was looking on Goodreads for ratings. Right, and
but I didn't write anything.
That is true.
Yeah. And Catherine almost spoiled it for me. I was like, no, don't tell me.
I'm terrible. Like, I love telling secrets. Not in the sense of like, people will get hurt, but like, you know, the little secrets, like,
but like every time Catherine finishes a book, she has to like text us like, oh my gosh, but we're trying to not do that now so that you get more genuine reactions on the pod.
It's so hard for me. Well, anyway, let's get into some discussion questions. So the first one, and I think this might be, it's a similar question, but I think we're gonna have different answers this time around. Is this more plot or character driven?
I agree with my review that is character driven.
I also say character driven.
I would slightly argue there's not much of a plot. It's all about the character.
The plot is self-discovery. Yeah. So that's the plot. Which is like typical for coming of age, I think.
And there's a few plot points where there's big events that happen.
That you sort of build up to that.
Yeah.
I'll get there. That's one of my critiques.
Okay.
So you don't like character-driven books then?
I enjoy character-driven coming-of-age stories just fine. You hated Crawdads, Casey. That's a coming-of-age.
Yeah, but that was extremely plot-driven.
No, I'm not a mushy. I'm not a mushy sentimental person. Sorry. Bring on the murderers.
I don't think I'm a mushy sentimental person, but this book got me.
Yeah, same. No. I mean, okay. This is probably the first book that we're reviewing that is truly character driven though.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've had a good mix, but not
this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like character driven stories, so this is just definitely in my wheelhouse a bit.
Mine's depends on character. It has to be a good character.
Well, yeah. If that's all there is, if it sucks, then it just sucks.
Yeah, but like
plot-driven books, if the plot sucks, then it just sucks.
That's true. But there's some character-driven books that I hate the character that everyone loves.
I feel like you're really talking about, oh my god, I just forgot the name of it.
Catcher in the Rye?
Catcher in the Rye. I was like, that book I hate, but anyway.
Yes. Yeah. But we're not going to go down that rabbit hole that we've gone down many times. Part out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the next question is, have you read any other books by the author? And I don't know that there's a sequel to Aristotle and Dante now. But other than that, I haven't really heard of anything else by the author.
So my thought initially, I was like, oh, I'll pick up this one and read it. And then I'll read the second one. I don't really know what the second one's going to bring. This one wraps up like really nicely. So I'm not even sure I'd want to pick it up for fear it would like kind of untie the nice little neat ending on this first one.
Yeah, I actually feel the same way. I loved this book, but it was like such like a complete story that I almost, even though I loved it, I almost don't want to read the sequel just out of fear that it will like upset me after feeling satisfied.
Oh yeah, same. No, as soon as I finished the book, I was like, I know that there's a second one. I'm probably not going to read the second one.
Yeah, so maybe a cliffhanger next time.
If you want to sell more books, yes.
Yeah. My mom did read it and she did like it. She said she didn't like it as much as the first one, but she loved the first one, like me and Catherine. But that it was still really good.
Okay, that's at least a better review.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, well, how was the pacing for y'all? How long did it take you guys to read it?
I read it really quickly. It's split up into chapters that are, for the most part, really short, which I think really helped. And most of the chapters are kind of about a scene or about a specific moment. And so for me, even though there's not like a, you know, there's not like a plot that you know you're pushing towards, that helped me like always be reading more and like reading quickly. So I think I finished it in 2 days.
So I initially picked this up like 2 months ago. I made it very not far in, got busy, put it down, never picked it back up until we were doing this episode. I didn't get very far the first time, so I will say that, but I wasn't dying to, it didn't hook me right away. I don't know. It is a nice fast pace if you want to sit down and just knock it out. I think I read it in like 2 days. Also, I accidentally grabbed the large print version when I picked this up, so I don't know if that affected how I read this, because I've never read a large print one. Like, it was a lot thicker than their copies, so.
Yeah. So I listened to it on audiobook when I had a road trip back home from Texas to Missouri, and I finished it in that leg of the trip. So it was like a 7-hour, 8-hour audiobook. And it's narrated by Lin-Manuel Miranda, which just makes it so much better. So I advocate for listening to it because he's really good at the voices and acting and stuff like that. So I think it really elevates the listening experience.
Can we talk about how Catherine just called Missouri home yet moved away?
No, I meant from Texas to Missouri. Like yeah, home
you said
was
home
Texas.
To Missouri.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Flip of the tongue.
We have this podcast because they both moved away from Missouri and she just called Missouri home.
Girl, I'm not moving back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, beside the point, are you going to watch the movie?
I am definitely excited to see the movie. The movie got really good reviews. I think it has like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't with very many critic reviews, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I think this will be a great movie. I'm definitely excited to see it. I think it's already out, but it's only in like select theaters.
Yes. But yeah, I think the plot lends itself to like a very tortured indie film, which is what they did with it.
I mean, if I come across it, I'll watch it. If not, I'm not going to go out of my way. Like, it was fine. I'm sorry. Ew. It was fine.
I hate
it
that.
It helps me that Catherine also loved it, so we can kind of like team up. The other books that we've disagreed on, there's been more of like a graduation of like a love, a meh, and a hate.
Yeah. I'm finally out the middle.
Did you guys have a favorite character or a favorite line or something in the book that was like your favorite part?
So I loved their meeting, like the first scene of like Dante was different from everyone. Like Ari's internal monologue is just so good. And he was talking about how like other boys are not the same as him. They don't think super deep, and like all they care about is girls and like drinking and whatever. And I was just like, yeah, all boys care about is girls and drinking. Like I was very like anti-men. And boys are immature. Yeah. So I was totally on Ari's level, despite being a woman. That was totally my experience as a 15-year-old of very introspective and like, oh, everyone around me doesn't care about like big issues or ahead of their time kind of thing. So I really like that part.
Yeah, I loved both of the leads. And what really, I think, got me to fall in love with the novel is that I felt like they were really sweet and introspective, and they were a very different version of masculinity than what is traditionally shown to us. And I really hate the traditional version of masculinity that's traditionally shown to us. And so I was really in love with the fact that these characters were brought to life, and they were very different than other characters I had read before. And I really loved them and believed them. I felt like they were still like awesome, flawed people, even though they were not sort of toxic and aggressive in the sense that a lot of other men are portrayed.
I liked Dante's dad and Ari's mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought that all the humor in the book came from the parents, which was a weird different thing. I feel like normally parents are like the boring ones, but I don't know, they were kind of funny, and they were like really sweet parents, like strict but still wanting their kids to be themselves and like fostering that. And I feel like a lot of the character development came from like Ari and his mom and dad. So I really enjoyed the relationships with the parents, I think.
I enjoyed that a lot as well. I think the other thing, this book doesn't have very many characters because it's really about Ari and Dante's friendship. So they're the two main characters, and then their parents are really the only like outside characters. But I felt like they were all really important and all contributed to the book in a meaningful way and had meaningful, fully fleshed out characters. And so
don't forget really legs.
They had legs. Arms. They had, yes, how could I forget? But yeah, so really all the characters in this book, I felt like, kind of brought something for me.
Agreed. So what is y'all's busy girl rating?
My busy girl rating is still a 5. I think it's really good. I think you can get through it quickly. And yeah, it can be a standalone. There's technically a sequel, but it's not the same as like committing to a series. So
I don't know, like a 3.5. It is an easy read. I'm sorry. I've never been a pubescent boy. I will never relate to that character very well.
Neither are we. Catherine,
and I know. I just could not build the connection. And okay.
Wrong.
Because you could give it a 3 quality rating, but it is a 5. Like It's arguably a 5-star busy girl rating because it is quick and easy.
If you like a nice little mushy book, it's a 5.
Yes, sure.
I don't like a nice little mushy book, and not every reader does.
I will say, I probably wouldn't read this on a plane because I was bawling my eyes out a bit. but I'd listen to it in a car ride, listen to it on a road trip where you just are by yourself with your thoughts and can fully process it.
I do think
into the desert and look at the stars and run around naked in the rain and listen to it. That's what I'd say.
I do think, to Caitlin's point, if you need a lot of action, just don't read it. Like, it's not an action-based novel. It's a character-driven book. If you want something that has, like, plot twists and mystery and murder and, you know, action, it's just not that kind of novel. But I still think it's a great read.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fine. I feel very attacked. I feel like I don't go at Casey quite so hard when she hates a book. And I don't even hate the book.
You play devil's advocate a lot, though.
Yeah. I also feel like I have been forced to justify my opinion and have done so. So you have to, too.
I'm justifying. It's kind of bland for me. I like the plot twists. Can we get to the spoilers? Because then I'll say what I want to say.
Oh,
sure. All right. Spoiler alert.
Here's my thing. It was just kind of cute. And every time it started getting boring, someone got, like, hit by a car.
I'm just Wait, is more than one person getting hit? There's the hit by a car, and then there's Dante.
And then he got beat up in the alley. Like, every time.
That's two things.
It's getting slow. Someone ends up in the hospital.
But it's not slow during
that
time.
That's two things. That's two times.
Yeah. That's the book is not long.
I mean, you could make that same argument with any sort of book that's plot-based with plot twists.
Yeah, every time things are slow, something big is revealed. That's how books work.
Yeah.
It's not something big is revealed. It's like, this character is kind of boring. Hold on, let me run him over with a car.
I don't think Ari or Dante were ever boring.
No. I think Ari is a little bit boring.
No, he is not.
I do not think so.
Why do you think I would have liked it better if it was from Dante's point of view.
I do love Dante, but I also love Ari. I feel like Ari was just really finding himself. Like, he had a lot of, like, he was just angsty. Yeah.
Like I said, it was sweet. I gave it 3 stars. I think I would have given him more if it was from Dante's perspective. But Dante is just a more enigmatic character.
But Dante knew exactly who he was. It wouldn't have been as interesting inside of his head. Ari was still figuring out his life and figuring out his identity and figuring out his family trauma. Dante kind of had a cushy upper middle class life.
I was going to root for the quirky kid.
Well, there you go. I don't know. I did not think they were boring. I also did not personally have like a gripe with the plot. I guess they're not plot twists, but like major plot points where like things descend into chaos.
I guess, okay, to clarify, part of it is I knew how this was going to end from the first page.
Yes.
And there was nothing to in between to really keep me that interested.
Well, maybe it's because I didn't know that this was an LGBTQ romance when I picked it up. So I didn't know.
Opening lines are like, boys always think about girls. I don't think about girls. I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, I didn't totally predict it, though. I mean, I knew that they had a friendship, and the friendship was what I love to read because, like, it's very sweet, and I think very few romances start with this, like, lovely little friendship. And so I loved reading that, just that growth, but I didn't know towards some point in the book, I like figured out that they would like be together, but I still didn't know how that was going to happen because Ari was like very repressed and in denial. And it's not until like halfway through the book that Dante really, you can tell, figures out who he is. So I was still interested in seeing how it was all going to go down.
Yeah, I will say, like, to Caitlin's point, I did know from the get-go that it was going to end with them together. but I didn't know the road or the journey that they were going to take. Like with some books where I know the ending or can predict the ending, I know how the ending's going to get there. And that's the problem, is like, I know the plot points that they're going to hit. With this one, I really didn't know how much time is going to go by, what's going to be the introspection. And then also I was interested in the side plot points with his family and with his brother and with Dante's family. So I was interested in more than just them getting together. And I also agree with Casey that just seeing a friendship form before a relationship is not seen a lot in books. Honestly, like, I just feel like there's like a lack of representation of people meeting or being friends and developing that friendship and then getting into a relationship. So I definitely appreciated that as well.
Like I said, I'll state again, it's a sweet little book. It doesn't move along quite as bumpy and dramatic as I prefer. Personal preference. I like them a little more twisty turny.
Okay. I guess we can accept that.
Fine.
Like, if you're going to make it where a lot of people predict it at the beginning, at least throw in some twisties. Like, maybe Ari's, you know, with a girl for a while, not just randomly kiss that one chick or something. I wanted him to, like, be with those two girls a little bit and experiment before he went back to Dante. Like, I don't know. I feel like he just kind of sat in his room and thought about it.
I don't think it's that weird, though. I feel like that's almost relatable.
It's not. It's very normal and very human, but I go to books to escape.
Yeah, but I mean, this is, I mean, probably not the escapism you're thinking about, but like, that's the beauty of this book, is it's so real that you could put yourself into it and that this could really happen. Like, these people could really exist. And I think that's the beauty behind this story.
Sure. But that's the same reason I don't watch movies based on true stories. It's just not my thing.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our discussion questions, because I'm very interested to see what everyone has to say. Our first one is about Ari. He's sort of like this inquisitive, deep, quiet, angsty. You're not like totally sure what his deal is exactly, but he has some, like, you know, those deep angsty thoughts and like not getting along with his family, like typical teenage stuff. What did you think of his point of view and his thoughts throughout the novel?
Well, I guess I'll start.
We know what Caitlin thinks already.
I know. I really liked it because I guess I never see that perspective, because obviously I'm not a dude or I'm not a teenage boy growing up and going through these things. And also, I guess I was really intrigued by his experience as this kid growing up in El Paso with Mexican-American parents, a dad who is dealing with PTSD and trauma from the war, and him just kind of navigating life with this trauma that's lingering in the background, and how he was very poetic in describing his issues, his grief, and his own identity. So I really liked his perspective, and maybe I just like dark and brooding characters, but I definitely liked his broodiness.
I second what Catherine says. I think the reason I agreed with Ari as a main character and not with Dante, as Caitlin has thrown out, is that I just think Ari had more to unpack. Like, there were more of those hidden elements of family conflict and, as Catherine put so eloquently, sort of trauma in the background that we kind of slowly discover, that I liked getting to see him finally sort of face those things.
I think for me, like, I liked Ari and I liked his character development. Like, talk about a book with character development, this is it. I think for me, maybe I was lacking some context to the time period. Like, I didn't live in it's the 80s, right? So, like, I don't know how widely accepted it was to be queer and out then. Like, the movement's going on, you know? Like,
1980s, Texas, in a Mexican family.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm missing context. I didn't grow up in Texas.
And this is the height of the AIDS epidemic, too.
Right. So I'm just kind of, I feel like I would have liked some more, like, global context to, like, what they're dealing with. He's, like, you know, they're going through the struggle of being Mexican-American, and Dante thinks he's not Mexican enough, and Ari is talking about how it's a big part of his identity. But, like, I just don't know where Mexican immigrants fit into the picture very well, right? Then, like, how that community is functioning, especially if you're gay in that community. Like, I don't know. I feel like maybe I would have understood Ari a little more if I had some more context to what his feelings looked like when he, like, you know, walked through the town kind of thing. I don't know if that made sense.
Well, we can definitely comment that the first thing is that, like, Mexican American immigrants have been very, like, socially conservative, the older generation at least. A lot of them are Catholic, which is, like, very socially conservative.
Which is why I was confused why their parents were both so okay with it in the 80s. See, these are things I'm missing.
Well, Dante's family was, like, super educated and, like, cosmopolitan. So they were just, I think, open-minded and ready for that. Ari's had, like, a hard reality check with his brother. They weren't open to it, and his brother ended up in a horrible situation, hating himself and committing violence. And so they had to adapt.
Yeah. And they were fearing so much that Ari would turn to that kind of life because he couldn't come to grips with his own identity. So I think they were more open to that conversation and to that sort of identity because of his brother.
Which I do understand. I think there just would have been higher stakes almost if there was some more outside context rather than just his own thoughts and his family's reaction, you know. But that being said, I still said this is, like, really good character development. It was really sweet, and I'm not mad about it. I just would have liked a little more, you know, history leading up to it to properly put it in context with the stakes.
But I guess, I mean, I could see where you're coming from, and I could see where that could...
I know. I'm explaining it badly, and it's making me sound ignorant.
No. I can see you're not at all. What I will argue and push back on is he is still a teenage boy. And I feel like when I was a teenager, I lived kind of in a bubble of my own, not really realizing what the world was outside of it. So when you're in his head, he's probably not putting into context global events because he really isn't focused on the globe. He's focused on him and his experience.
Also, Dante does end up in the hospital because of homophobia. So I feel like that's sort of the outside world. Yeah.
It's just also like, this book is, like, modernly written, but takes place in the 80s, and the audience is younger people who didn't grow up in a time with no phones and stuff. Like, I feel like there just could have been a little more, like, time period setting.
I could see that. I don't think they referenced the 80s that much, so that would have made it more obvious if he had worked more of that in.
Yeah. I think they talked about Walkmans and that's about it, but I doubt the youngins know what that is.
Right, I mean, they're throwing their shoes in the street for fun. Kids these days would never.
Yeah, they're too busy on TikTok. Okay, so we're already kind of talking about, you know, the setting. It's El Paso. It's the 1980s. Me and Catherine are from Texas, so we both definitely, I think, sort of, like, connected immediately with that. But the second part of the setting is also kind of, you know, masculinity and toxic masculinity and who these characters are and how they fit into culture and how that was portrayed in the book. So what did you guys think of that?
I loved it. I mean, I guess to speak to, like, what Caitlin was saying earlier about not really understanding and wanting, like, more of a primer on it. I guess growing up in Texas, we see a little bit more into this, not quite into this culture. El Paso is very different from Austin and very different from Dallas, but we do have, like, that Texas background. So maybe that's where we can connect more. But I loved the time period, especially with, like, the post-Vietnam War, this idea of masculinity, that time period, because we just don't see a lot of representations of different types of masculinity, especially in historical novels, even historical fiction written today. I feel like they give some leeway to characters being more traditionally, like, what masculinity and what we think of. But I think this one gave a really good introspection into what masculinity is and what it shouldn't be.
I liked how many types of kind of masculinity you experience in the book without any of them being extremely overplayed. I feel like in a lot of books, when they're trying to have this dichotomy of masculinity, it's like extreme, like one way or the other. And in this, like, you had Dante's dad, very much head of household father figure, but like a literary and emotional. And then you had Ari's dad, like head of household, but the war had crushed him and he was preserving his masculinity and emotions by not showing them. So like, I feel like they were very real examples, and I applaud that because they were real.
I agree. I think books a lot of times like vilify certain like types of people in a way that's very extreme, but this book was very much like everyone was trying their best, but some people were definitely, you know, sort of more on the traditionally masculine scale, and like that was also part of the conversation in the book, is them struggling to like emotionally engage and be more of a positive male role model.
Well, that's the whole thing with like Ari's dad, is like Ari eventually confronts him of like, why don't you show me more emotions? Why don't you let me in? And he was like, I didn't realize I needed to do that. And it's that learning that people need different things. They sometimes need that emotion instead of like this traditional gender roles that we've created.
Right. Probably the only character who like really leans into like the toxic violent side of masculinity is Ari's brother, who's like a background in the novel, but not actually in the novel himself. And you can see how much pain that causes and how that actually forces his parents to like have more conversations about sexuality and masculinity, because they're so afraid that their second son will fall into that trap as well.
And I feel like that's almost maybe the only stereotypical character. You know, the young Mexican American who went to a life of crime, you know, you see that trope so many times in movies and TV. And I like that, yes, that was kind of stereotypical, but the one step further in showing how that affected the family and how that affected his little brother redeemed that.
Yeah. Yes. And it was very like loving, even though, you know, it was like, it wasn't romanticized, because, you know, it's either like these movies are either highly stereotyping people or like romanticizing violence. And it was sort of hit, for me at least, like the perfect level of the parents still loved him and lovingly showing how those choices reverberated through their lives. What do you think of which we've been touching on sort of a little bit this whole time because it's so important. But what do you think of the relationship between Ari and his parents, and how is it impacted by his brother being in prison?
I mean, I think they kind of try to, I don't want to say like cushion him or try to keep more eyes on him, but they are more cautious about letting him out into the world. And they're definitely living in a state of kind of fear of losing their other son, because it is a loss. I mean, his brother did go to prison for murder because he got involved with a gang, and they don't talk about him. They've kind of erased him from their family a bit because it's like this grief and this loss to them. And they're so afraid that Ari will turn into this aggressive, violent lifestyle. So I think that really affects his relationship with his parents, because he wants to know more about his brother, because he only remembers his brother as like this, like his big brother, his like role model, his person that he could talk to. But now he's been kind of erased and he doesn't totally understand, and he wants to learn more. So it kind of creates the conflict between them.
Yes. Also, they hide things about his brother from Ari until Ari really starts like making it clear how hurt he is by the family treating the issue that way. Like, they don't ever fully talk about it until towards the end of the book. And so that secrecy is also kind of a big part of the relationship in the first half, because there are all these things not discussed that really bother Ari, and he's not really sure how to handle that.
I feel like, though, for being as kind of disgruntled as he was about not knowing these things, he still had a much closer relationship to his parents than a lot of teenage kids do, which was really interesting that if there wasn't that thing, like, how close would their relationship be? I mean, more his mom than his dad in the beginning, he's close to, but I don't know. I thought that was interesting that despite that big white, like the big elephant in the room, he was still like rather close to his parents, which I think also speaks to like some time period context about like kids plugged into their phones and TV and like have to ask permission to go everywhere, don't always just get that inherent trust from their parents, that kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it
Right.
was a really sweet relationship. I enjoyed reading about it.
It was. And he was more of a loner. So, like, back in the day, if you didn't have friends, there was really no way to get away from your parents.
Right, but they just let him wander. Oh, you're
Yeah.
gonna drive your truck to the desert? Okay, don't die.
Yeah. Angsty boy.
Oh,
Sad
you
boy
got run over by a
hours.
car? Here's a truck. Go do whatever you want.
Yep.
To be fair, he got run over by a car because he was saving his friend's life.
Yes. It's
So,
just my mother and father would be like, oh my gosh, now we have to protect you and bubble wrap you. They wouldn't be like, here's a car.
yeah.
I would hope my parents would get me a car if I was saving someone's life. Maybe I'm thinking too much of my parents. They probably wouldn't, but I would
I
hope
don't.
so.
My parents would. They would let me out of the house, but like they would be like doing like little prayers and vigils over my head every time I left the doorway.
Yeah, his parents were really chill, really cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. So, kind of how does Ari's relationship with his family then contrast with Dante and his parents? And kind of, yeah, I kind of think of them as like foils to each other. Yeah. What do
Yeah.
y'all have to say?
I think they're foils because Dante and his parents are very close and they kind of tell each other everything. I mean, not everything, because obviously his parents didn't totally know that he was gay. They knew, I'm guessing they suspected, and I think they do say that they suspected, but it was never outright. But they're definitely a lot more open conversations in a more open household, and while Ari and his parents are a lot more closed off. But they still had equal amounts of like connection to their parents, but it was just kind of different forms of parenting.
When you do have like white collar family, blue collar family, mom emotionally unavailable, dad emotionally unavailable, like they are sort of opposites and sort of foils, but also were very similar in how they just wanted the best for their kid, which was really a nice breath of fresh air. Like in my review, like it's a nice palate cleanser just to see a nice nuclear family trying to figure out their things because not all families have to be super broken to have issues they need to work through together.
Snaps. Also, I did feel like it was interesting to see such like a funny, humorous family's dynamic compared to more of like a shutdown or just more like serious kind of family dynamic. Because Dante's family just had so much like play and humor, and that was how they connected. And that was kind of interesting to see because Ari's family wasn't really like that.
Right. It's nice to see, I guess, in both instances pretty much, but a book where the parents were not the villains to the teenage boy and were very unique in how they approached that, like two different approaches, but seeing that and not just the stereotypical teen rebel against parent trope.
All
Also
right.
love that they became friends.
Right,
Like going bowling together.
which was good for Ari's dad too. Like Ari making a friend was good for him and his emotional development, which was really cute.
It was really cute. It was funny because you almost see like the families do for each other what we've been watching Ari and Dante do for each other. I was like, oh. Okay. But one of the biggest plot points in the book is that Ari saves Dante's life. Dante so typical of little poet Dante, is trying to chase a bird and doesn't realize he's about to get hit by a car. And Ari sacrifices himself and almost dies in order to save Dante. So what did you think about this? And how did this change your perspective on the relationship? How do you think of it as a moment in their development to being boyfriends?
I just thought it kind of went like 0 to 100 back to zero. I don't know, like on the like eventfulness of the book, if that makes sense. Not in like a terrible way, just like it's like, oh my god, this crisis, all right, now we're friends again. It did add some tension to the relationship because Ari wanted no respect for it, wanted no attention for it, and Dante of course is like, has this little crush on Ari, and he just saved his life, and it just exacerbates that. But like otherwise it was like throwing shoes, hit by a car in the hospital, okay, we're friends again, you know. that was my issue there with the like speed of the book.
The reason it didn't bother me is because I feel like that's what real life is like. Like, crises happen and then they're just kind of over.
Right. But I already said, I come to books for like more drama.
But I did like it. I did not think this in the moment I was reading it. But in hindsight, thinking about the book, I felt like one of the reasons that Ari was so resistant to acknowledging what happened and acknowledging that he saved Dante's life is because part of his like romantic feelings for Dante were coming into play in what happened, and he wasn't ready to go there yet because he is like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't want anyone to thank me for this, to the point that it's like extreme and it gets in the way of their friendship. But
even like kids at school, hey, how'd you break both your legs? That's weird, okay?
Yeah. You're like, come on, bro.
He just doesn't want to talk about it. I mean, like, he could have just said car accident and that's it. Like, end the story there. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I think that's the turning point in the book where it goes from, like, boyhood friendship to more, not adulthood, but, like, teenagehood. Where,
and it seems like Dante's maybe a step ahead, which is what causes the tension.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did find it weird that like half the development they did was when Dante was in Chicago and Ari was still back home in El Paso. I was like, why aren't they doing this together? Isn't that the point of the book? I don't know. But that tension, and then which makes the letter writing almost more tense, is from the accident.
Right. That's what I remember about it, is that their relationship can never go back to being the simple, lighthearted friendship that it was before. And I think, again, it's because they're getting closer and closer to acknowledging that there are more feelings at play. And Dante, like Caitlin said, is much closer to acknowledging that than Ari is. How does the relationship between Ari and his parents change after the accident?
I think it's a catalyst for Ari to be more open about what he's feeling and telling his parents straight up of like, I need more transparency, I need more stories, I need this. And it allows his parents to kind of get an insight on their loner teenage son who's been keeping things more to himself to go with the flow and not wanting to rock the boat. But now he's saying like, you know, no, these are the things I need. These are the things I need from you. And creating more of that adult relationship with your parents. Because I think there is a point in time in everyone's life where you ask for more transparency from your parents as you grow up, so that you can become more of like a friendship with even your parents as you get older.
Well, even for a while, he became more dependent on his parents again at an age where he was trying not to be, mm-hmm. which was interesting. And like, not only now, like, it brought his turmoil, his internal turmoil, from an emotional level to a physical level, because he was so stuck with having two broken legs and having to rely on his parents. And so I think that just made it easier for them to see he was struggling with something, because now he was like also physically struggling with something. And I thought it was interesting how they responded and how they like very much saw that and eventually accepted that and worked with him through it.
Right. It also just, those sort of life or death incidents really force you to get real about the emotions, which is why the book kind of changes tone after that, where things are becoming more complicated. Because then it even sort of begs the question of would his parents have been able to get honest, to be as honest with him as they ultimately were if he hadn't almost died? Like, would they ever have gotten to that point in their relationship? But they were forced to because, you know, if your child almost dies, you have to think more seriously about who they are and where they're going and how much they mean to you. So the very last part of the book is really about Ari finally coming to terms with his sexuality. That happens in like a couple different plot points. You know, Ari learns that he had a gay aunt, and Dante is beaten up for kissing a boy, and Ari wants to get revenge for him, which really worries his parents and ultimately initiates a discussion about him and his brother. So how does Ari resolve his feelings on this, and how do these events all kind of lead up to the ultimate conclusion where Ari and Dante are together?
I will say I would have loved the aunt plot point earlier in the book because it provided some of that context about the acceptance of a Mexican-American queer person at the time. I liked it, but I wish it had been in there sooner. But yeah, I think it was helpful to like grease the wheels to him getting there. But I wish it had been there earlier with a little more clarity on why the aunt was ostracized by family.
I guess I disagree. Like, I don't think they needed to give more clarity on that. I think it was more implied, and I guess I read between the lines a little bit more of just like when he had to go and stay with his aunt, it was always his aunt and his and her roommate, this other woman kind of thing.
Right,
and
but that wasn't even until like 2/3 of the way through the book.
I know, but I think that's very purposeful at the end because we feel the struggle of him like trying to figure out himself. And like you think in the back of your head, are his parents going to accept him? But then he realizes that his parents have already accepted his aunt for her identity. So him being accepted by them seems like something that could happen. So I'm okay with the positioning and the vagueness of it, I guess.
I mean, yes, I loved that. It was very sweet, the point about like they've already gone through that acceptance. I think what I would have liked earlier is just the part like, hey, we never see your gay aunt anymore because the rest of the family hates her. You know, like you didn't even have to reveal the fact that the mom was exchanging letters with her this whole time until the end. I don't know. I would have liked a little more context about why maybe he was so nervous to come to terms with this, despite like other than just being a disappointment.
But I don't think he was ever worried about what his parents were going to say. It was more about like internalized issues with his own identity and just not wanting to accept it. Like he really wanted to be a traditional of what we think is traditional teenage boy who likes girls. So I think it's more internalized than it was externalized.
I can see both points on that one. I did like the context, like Caitlin was saying, I liked the context that the aunt gave us. It gave a little bit more insight into his extended family, which you really don't get until that moment, which was nice. I think I can see both points on the timing of it. But yeah, I did really like that it just kind of opened up the world a little bit more into the acceptance and his own internal struggles.
Yeah.
Very like man versus himself, Ari.
Very.
Did you like how it was the parents sitting down saying, son, you're gay? Like, what was your it was kind of an awkward little family, like, here's a beer, son, let's talk about it, you're gay. And he's like, oh yeah, I guess I am. I don't know, what were your thoughts on that? Like, it was kind of quirky and cute, but also I feel like that's not, I can't speak to this, I am not a member of the queer community, but that's probably not most people's experience. I don't know. It's really interesting.
It's very few people's experience, the reverse coming out. And again, I would not have believed it if it wasn't for the car accident and then the aunt plot line. Those two and the plot line, all we learn about the brother. Without those three things, I would not have believed it. But that was enough to make me think, okay. Plus also just Ari's character. I was like, yes, he is repressed enough to try and ignore this forever. And so I liked it. It was extremely stressful to read that scene. It was just so emotionally chaotic. But I liked it.
Yeah, no, it was very emotionally chaotic and very stressful to listen to it and just hearing them like being like, son, it's okay. And him trying and failing to accept it until he finally does. And yeah, I doubt that's
most people's experience. Really unique. I feel like you hear a lot more of Dante's than Aries, you know, in Chicago exploring things and trying weed and kissing boys. And I don't know, it kind of caught me off guard. They were just like, all right, son, we don't want you to be like your brother and have this repressed toxic masculinity. So come out right now. But it was kind of cute. They're like, you love Dante. And that, so that was kind of cute.
Well, and I think the catalyst to that conversation was the fact that he beat up he was going to beat up another kid for beating up Dante. And they were very, very scared that he was going to resort to violence to solve all of his issues, much like his brother. And so I think all of the events leading up to it really forced the conversation that probably wouldn't have happened at all. Like, he probably would have forever stayed in the dark and would have repressed everything.
I don't know, though. The gay aunt was going to come up at some point.
That's true. Yeah, it was. This is what I mean about, like, we knew Aristotle and Dante were going to end up together, but I could not have predicted this. Like, this.
Oh, that his parents are like, son, go be with Dante. We love him, too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but the author brought just enough push factors together that I could believe it. And so,
I just feel like that exact storyline is far more like 2020 than 1980. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of just, all right, yeah. Son, it's okay. Go on. You know, it's that's where I just like, I feel like you either got to go all in on the time period, like 80s, or all in on like the, I don't know. I just got,
it's so
wishy-washy on it.
Like, we're closer to the 1980s than we think.
Yeah, but LGBTQ rights are not close to the 80s.
Yeah. That's true. I could believe it because I think the author brought enough into context.
Yes.
But
I think it was a very modern storyline for a book set in the 1980s.
Also, the only reason I could believe it is because they did love Dante and they got to see Ari and Dante together. I would have thought that the parents could have stayed in denial about that. But the thing that made me accept it was that they had now seen so much of Ari and Dante that they were like you said, you love Dante. Like, you do. Like, we can see that you love Dante. And I was like, oh, so sweet. That is kind of our last question. But it's just, how does Ari ultimately resolve his own feelings for Dante? Ari says that he had spent all this time trying to discover the secrets of the universe, of his own body and heart. What does that mean?
It's a really deep way of self-reflection.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I relate to that aspect of, like, I feel like my own self is more of a mystery than, like, the stars in the sky. You know what I mean? Like, it's human nature to just understand everything but what's going on inside you and other people.
And it's so hard to actually be honest with yourself sometimes. Like, you will endlessly lie to yourself sometimes. Like, it's really hard to actually do concerted self-work and to get that real. So that's what I took from it.
Yeah. No, the book really forces you to even look at your own self and be like, wow, okay, I need to work on myself as well and, like, listen to my own inner self.
Maybe that's also part of the reason I was, like, not super vibing like on a personal level with the characters. It's like, I was such a goody two shoe with all the good grades, not experimenting with anything drug wise, alcohol wise, sexuality wise. Like, I don't know. It's a cute little unique storyline and a perspective I probably could use to read from, but not one I connect personally with.
Well.
Other than I'm still a mystery to myself.
Amen to that. So I think that kind of is the end of the discussion. Me and Catherine loved it. Caitlin felt meh, but it was a cute story. It was definitely a very deep, emotional LGBTQ read. Not a lot of action, but lots of amazing characters. So you guys read it and let us know what you think.
I want to go first on suggesting something similar because Catherine's going to steal it from me. Read Song of Achilles.
I knew you were going to recommend that.
I haven't read that one, so I couldn't recommend it.
I thought you did. Well, Madeline Miller, Song of Achilles, Circe, if you like Greek mythology, they're very good. But also, it's like a high-stakes LGBTQ romance with an old Greek character at the center of it. And it's kind of interesting. Yeah. Another time period, but one much further away, as Catherine would say.
Okay, my recommendation is going to be one that I think we're planning to read on the podcast eventually, but it is The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
I was going to recommend that.
It's another time period story. It starts in the 50s and follows the career of an actress, Evelyn Hugo. But she's had seven husbands. There's also sort of an unexpected like LGBTQ relationship in the story, or actually more than one. But it's about sort of a repressed time period where that lifestyle and those, you know, relationships were not accepted. But another like really well done story and love story and lots of friendships. So a lot of the wholesome aspects, but definitely not wholesome. This one, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, is definitely an adult read, but some of the same elements there.
Oh yeah, definitely an adult read, but a very good book. And we're definitely reading it for the podcast. I'm also going to recommend one that we're going to read for the podcast by the same author, Malibu Rising. I know Caitlin's giving a face. It's not super similar, but it gave me similar vibes in the sense of like familial trauma and familial relationships and the issues there and how growing up too quickly. And it's also set in the 1980s. So setting is also correct as well. I really like that book. And when I asked the question, that's the one I think of immediately, but Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is very good as well. Basically just read Taylor Jenkins Reid if you like this book.
Yes.
I'll save my Malibu Rising review for you too.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you didn't like that one either.
It was fine. Maybe it's a 1980s thing for me. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I liked Malibu Rising, but that one I can understand leaning more to the
That one I can understand. I'm recommending it because I liked it. I didn't love it though.
Okay, we'll get there. It's coming up, guys.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Stay tuned.
All right, well, our favorite disclaimer: these are just our opinions. They don't have to be yours. We hope they're not yours, and we hope that you guys join in our discussion with us and tell us what you thought and the reasons that we were wrong or the reason that we were right. So that's what makes discussing books fun. So you can join the conversation online. Almost all of our social media handles are at Busy Girls Pod. We also have a discussion on Goodreads under Busy Girls Book Club Podcast.
Also, if you straight up hated this book, I'd love to hear from you because it was really hard to find any reviews that just straight up hated it.
Okay, there were some reviews that hated it, but there was a lot of homophobia in some of them. So,
okay, well then don't tell us if that's why you hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't subscribe to that.
If you hated it for innocent reasons. Yeah. If you hated it for innocent and innocuous reasons.
If you hated it because you hate Texas, let us know.
Oh, don't let us know that. Missourian over here.
Anyway, okay. Tell your friends, join the Busy Girl Book Club. You're all part of our book club if you're listening. So we want to include you in the discussion. Our November TBR is posted on our social media. So you can read along with us, read and then listen. But yeah, come join us. And if you have a suggestion, let us know. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.